This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
It's really great to be catching up with Angela Burke. Of course, you're our expert when it comes to career and workplace well-being. You're also a career coach. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Hub and iRadio. It's lovely to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, Louise. It's so nice to be back chatting to you again. It's been a while.
It definitely has. Now, for somebody who's starting their first job, are there any maybe important habits that they should develop early on to build a strong foundation for long-term well-being at work?
Yeah, 100%. Great question. And I always think no better time to start this than, you know, when you first join or when you first enter the workplace. Start as you mean to go on. I think your boundaries are so important, Louise. Like, if we don't put our own boundaries in place, then we're adhering to what everyone wants around us, and our well-being is 100% at stake. So yeah, definitely putting your boundaries in place. And, you know, someone new to the workplace might not exactly know what that looks like. So it's as simple as, you know, maybe putting a little disclaimer on your email signature to refer to your working hours, and that, you know, you'll be back in touch, you know, within those working hours. Little things like, when I say start as you mean to go on, we all want to do well and we want to impress, particularly when we start a new job. But you have to be mindful that what your output looks like in the first while is then what will become expected and what will be the norm. So you want to really manage, you know, it's a fine balance, you know, really performing well and absolutely impressing, but not doing it to the detriment of your well-being or where it starts to kind of creep into your personal time. So just thinking about, you know, setting realistic expectations when it comes to timelines, responding to emails, how much you can take on, all that kind of thing. And do you know the other thing, Louise, that's so underestimated? But when you start a new job, you know, particularly when you're early in career, your work friends, your crew, it's so important to find that crew quite early on, because it's always on the rainy day when, you know, things go wrong, that you can really rely on those people. And actually, do you know, especially during a tough period like that at the start of the job, having your friend, whether it's in your current kind of team or even outside of your team, a little bit of cross-functional networking, that can be great. I think it can take that kind of draining element away from, you know, the tough weeks at work.
Yeah, yeah. Social media often presents a picture-perfect view of work life. What's one piece of advice that you have for maybe young people to manage their expectations and to avoid burnout from trying to keep up with an idealised version of a career?
I think it's remembering that what you see on Instagram, on LinkedIn, you know, it is an idealized version. It's a snapshot. You know, we're seeing kind of the dream day or the dream little 2 minutes of someone's week. But we're not seeing, you know, potentially the late nights, you know, the mistakes, all the failed interviews before they actually got the job. So I think it's really important to give yourself the reality check that you're potentially not getting on Instagram, and also kind of tapping into yourself. And, you know, I, as much as the next person, I love a nice aesthetic, but when it comes to, you know, living your life and, you know, navigating your career, I think tapping into, like, you know, am I chasing an aesthetic or am I actually building a life and a career that actually feels good day to day, and not just looks good for those 2 seconds on Instagram or on TikTok? I think it's just giving yourself the real practicality check, rather than leaning into the, you know, a lot of the falseness and the kind of exaggeration that we can see online.
Yeah, for sure. If a young person maybe is hesitant to speak up about any issues at work, or maybe anybody at work is hesitant to speak up about issues, what's a good first step for someone who thinks they might be in a toxic work environment but isn't sure how to identify it or what to do next?
This is such a tricky one, and quite widespread, actually, because sometimes, you know, there can be little pockets of toxic environments within a larger. So like the organization as a whole could have a relatively good culture, but then within a particular team, usually down to the management, you know, not managing that kind of toxic element, there can be little pockets. So definitely one to watch out for. I think if people, regardless of, to your point, Louise, regardless of what stage of your career you're at, if you, you know, think you might, you know, you might be spotting kind of signs of being in that type of environment. I think it's all about observing, first of all, keeping your receipts, so taking note of what's going on and just really identifying, like, is this, you know, a case of a colleague having a bad day or a bad week? Mm-hmm. Or is it a case of like a real, is there a pattern here around that kind of toxic behavior? And you know what, I really... people come to me about a lot of different elements, but the toxic element is something that is kind of out of your control. Now I say this, you know, what I mean by out of your control is, I think if it gets to a level where it's very clear, you know, that there's a pattern, mm-hmm. And it's not changing, I think then you have to take it into your hand to think, you know, is this an environment that I can thrive in, both personally and professionally, or do I need to kind of, you know, plan my exit? However, there is one thing I will say that is within your control, and it is, you know, I always think, you know, give the benefit of the doubt, but also keep in mind kind of once bitten, twice shy. So, you know, always speak up. I'm a huge advocate for people speaking up in the workplace. So speak up, you know, speak up once or twice. If on the third time, for example, you know, what you're saying has not been taken seriously, or there's no change being brought about by management at that point, then I think that's where you can see that there's a toxic environment here. It's not being managed properly. And at that point, it is kind of, you know, the changing of the environment is out of my control, but I can take control in terms of taking myself out of the environment.
Brilliant. And that's great advice. Angela, stick with us for a couple of minutes. If you've got any questions to ask Angela, of course, she is a career coach, and she's all about making sure that we are having the best well-being at work. If you want to get in touch, 087-1102-107. It's the Hub on iRadio. It is the Hub on iRadio. It's Louise in with you. Now, at the minute, we're having a chat to the wonderful Angela Burke, all about careers. Of course, Angela, you work with people as a career coach, but as well as that, you're a serious advocate for making sure that we have got well-being at work, and making sure that we're looking after ourselves. We've got a couple of messages in already, Angela. And Kira wants to know, she says that she feels like her boss is being overly critical and takes credit for her work. What's a practical and professional way for her to address this without jeopardizing her position?
Such a tricky one. Yeah. Particularly the criticism is one element, but then taking, you know, taking acknowledgement for the work is very, very tricky, particularly when you've worked hard for it. What I would do around the criticism piece is, instead of reacting, you know, from a defensive perspective, I would ask for a specific example. So maybe saying something like, okay, thank you for the feedback. Can you give me, you know, some specific examples of what I could do better, the changes you'd like to see? Yeah. And that way you're coming at it from a really professional perspective, but you are putting the onus on your manager to actually cough up, give the receipts and give you specific examples. So that's a good angle, really, on the criticism. On the piece around, you know, managers taking credit of your work, it's not cool. We've all been in that situation. I think you need to be a little bit strategic around this, because typically, you know, if it happens once, you know, we'll always forgive. But if it is a pattern, typically you may be working under a manager who is, you know, not the best manager and maybe just focusing on their own career growth. So then again, you know, we need to take control of our own career. So what I would say in this aspect is being strategic around how you share updates with your manager on your work. So for example, if you're working as part of a project, you've been leading it or you've been contributing, you know, from a certain angle of it, what you could do is, instead of sending the update directly to your manager, you could actually send the update to your manager and the stakeholders that the work is impacting all at once. And therefore, you know what I mean? The stakeholders are quickly saying, oh, okay, so Angela's been working on this, mm-hmm. not just her manager. So that's a nice way to do it. If you're on a call and you're, you know, your manager, for example, is given an update on the project or the piece of work, and like that, you know, is really jumping in and kind of taking all the credit, little sentences like, you know, you could jump in and say something like, I'd love to share something additional in relation to how I approach this project. You know, so just being strategic, you know, it's all trial and error. You know, the first couple of times you might feel really awkward, but just lean in and, you know, approach it from a way that you feel comfortable. But I think if you do that, that, the message will be loud and clear, and there should be less of it in future.
Definitely. Jason has a question. I feel like the line between work and personal life is becoming increasingly blurred, especially with remote work. What are some simple, actionable strategies that I can use to set healthy boundaries and protect my mental health? It's becoming a lot.
100%. I love time blocking in the calendar, Louise. So blocking off time, like if you think about it, particularly when you work remote, you have a lot of calls during the day.
Yeah.
And often where people can struggle is actually finding time within their working day to actually get the bulk of their work done. So I love time blocking for this, to really get into your focus work. So literally blocking out an hour, 30 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is, throughout your day. And even, if you have, for example, an open calendar where everyone can see, you might even want to, think about how you word the title of that time. So, focus work on XYZ project, for example. And you make a challenge, when we're talking about boundaries here, you might get a little bit of pushback, from time to time. People might say, oh, I see that you have your calendar blocked off for, 90 minutes. Can you move that? Or, if it's an open calendar system you're working on, I see it's for XYZ. Could you actually move that? Because, there's a more important meeting. And absolutely, if a meeting is important, particularly if it's with a group of people, of course, we can move it. But if this is happening regularly, I think just, having that open conversation with your boss or stakeholder or colleague, whoever it is, and just saying, listen, as I understand it, this project is a priority for the organization. So in order for us to reach the deadline, I need this time to get my part done.
Angela, we've had so many amazing pieces of advice. If people want to reach out, if they want to find out more or check out your resources online, where's the best place that they can go?
Yeah, so it's Angela Burke, B-U-R-K-E, angelaburke.ie on both Instagram and online.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.